The views and opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of Overseas Radio Network, the Expat Broadcasting Group, the staff, management, or broadcast partners. All information provided is for educational purposes only. Before taking action, consult a licensed professional.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Colombia.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's that time of the week again. I am your host, Richard McCall. This is Colombia Calling, and we're here to talk about everything and all things Colombian. We'll talk about the news. We'll interview some notable people, expats in Colombia, making it happen. We're going to demyth some of the realities of life in Colombia, what it's like to live here, how to invest, how it's like to be a parent in Colombia. But first, we'll start with a look at the week's news in Colombia. We may not. I realize that Colombia is an underreported country, and when there are articles that come out about Colombia, they're rarely positive. So we're here to tell it how it is, give you the good news, the bad news, the medium news, and speak about all things Colombian. So hopefully we're getting the message across. Anyway, so here in Colombia, the big news really is that Colombia, when the perception of corruption in the country has increased. This is a big shock. This has been a report in the annual corruption barometer produced by the NGO Transparency International. And yes, in all of those people interviewed in Colombia, they think things have got worse. Now, this must be a massive hit to the government of President Juan Manuel Santos, who made one of the mainstays of his government. He talked about cutting the red tape and the bureaucracy, and obviously wiping out, annihilating, I think he used was the word, annihilating corruption. But, well, corruption is so inherent in the society here. I mean, you know, which country isn't corrupt, I ask you? And, of course, we're in Latin America, and long known for corruption. But which country isn't corrupt? And Colombia, of course, has its problems. I wrote a blog, you can see it, richardmccall.com. You can see my most recent blog, talking all about the corruption that I personally have faced and encountered here. Not big corruption, not white-collar corruption, but just petty corruption. And, you know, the kind that really just gets under your skin. And I think one of the main points I make is, you know, imagine this. You know, okay, 10,000, 20,000 pesos, so we're talking about 5, 10, 15, 20 dollars each time. But imagine this on a national scale. How much does this irritate? How much money must be changing hands? So yes, corruption, the perception in Colombia is that it has increased, and you know, not a lot of faith in their politicians. And obviously, I mean, it makes sense if 10% of Juan Manuel Santos's government has been impeached. You know, what can we expect from the rest? Now, you know, there's corruption. It's here. It's not going to go away. It will just change its form and continue, unfortunately. And it's stagnating the country and not permitting businesses and establishments to progress. So I can hear you out there saying, tell me something I don't know. But anyway, it's just that time of the year when Transparency International brings out their annual corruption barometer. What else is going on? Well, spying. Spying in Latin America, spying in the world just continues. The Edward Snowden case just rolls on and on. And many countries in Latin America are asking the U.S., to what extent have our citizens been spied upon? And, well, I have a friend who's somewhat, what's the best word? He's an author, he's a journalist, he's written guidebooks and novels, and he's based in Canada, but he's absolutely terrified of the fact that he was spied upon when he was here in Colombia. And paranoid, maybe, but now with these new revelations, Jens, my friend Jens Podrup, really believes that we're all being spied upon, and he wrote me an email this week saying, you know, as a gringo, a foreigner, as we're known here, as a foreign journalist writing from Colombia, the probability is that you have been eavesdropped or spied upon. They are watching you. And you know what? I think that's probably true. I'm not some sort of conspiracy theorist. I'm not paranoid about these things, but I do write about the conflict. I do write about politics, in addition to travel and other things. And so, yes, I imagine that I was watched upon. You know, and they have been sort of monitoring my progress. Well, I hope I've showed them a good time. Anyway, so that's what's been going on in Colombia. What else do we have? Murders and been down again, dropped again in Bogota, 7% on last year. This is incredibly positive. You know, things are going in the right direction despite everything, despite the corruption, despite traffic accidents, which seem to be eternally reported upon here. But things are getting better. For those of you who listen to this show on a weekly basis, you'll know that I interview some notable people every week, expats in Colombia making it happen, or even Colombians making it happen in their own country. This week, I'm happy to have Courtney Strickland, a native of the US, here in Colombia, and part of my drive to make this not completely Bogota-centric, not completely based on the capital, I'm happy to say that Courtney is based on the coastal city of Barranquilla. Very exciting to have someone in from Barranquilla, and you know, a city that has not yet been represented on Colombia Calling. We've talked about Bogota and Medellin and other regions, and of course I'm based at the moment in Mompox in my hotel, La Casa Amarilla. I will be back in Bogota shortly, but I'm based here. And yes, we'll get someone else with a different opinion and a different lifestyle there in Barranquilla, and she'll talk to us about her, you know, the culture shock, how it was to move over here with her family. She has a young family. And, of course, you know, how she's found life and what she's doing with herself. This is an educated lady with plenty to say, and she's originally from Georgia. And, yeah, she writes about what it's like to be a parent of a young child in Colombia and life in general. And so this promises to be an interesting show for those of you thinking of coming down and those of you not, you know, with not too much information about Barranquilla. I mean, I like Barranquilla. I find it a very thriving business center and cultural center on the coast. One of the most cultural cities in Colombia because they're really pushing for that growth. But it's a city that's overlooked by tourists, because, perhaps because it doesn't have the most friendly outlook. I mean, you look at it and the scenery is high-rise apartment buildings and construction, but it's an interesting city. I mean, it's the city that really gave the contemporary growth to Colombia through its port. So, yeah, we're going to talk about Barranquilla and more than just carnival. I mean, I remember running into a guidebook author some years ago, a guidebook I will not mention. I will not give them the publicity. But he mentioned to me, well, I'm not going to go to Barranquilla. I don't see why any tourist would go to Barranquilla. Well, you know, my response was, what about carnival? The second biggest carnival in Latin America, behind that of Rio in Brazil. Anyway, these words seem to have fallen on deaf ears with this guidebook writer. And, well, Barranquilla is booming, not just for carnival. And when we come back after this editorial break, we will talk all about Barranquilla and all about life in Colombia. And we will dispel some of the myths about this big coastal port. So, don't go away. I'm Richard McCall. This is Colombia Calling, and we'll be right back. Thank you.
Pack your bags and explore the world with us. You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network.
Are you interested in investing in organic agriculture but don't want to get your hands dirty? Do you want high offshore returns with an environment of low taxes and strong property rights? If so, you should consider Chile's most exciting and diverse new development, FreedomOrchard.com and its expert team of organic farmers in the Freedom Orchard Organics Division. Don't just sit on a pile of gold. Inflation-resistant farm investments are available now at Freedom Orchard. Enjoy a short payback period from year-round frost-free planting on our highly productive farmland in central Chile. Visit FreedomOrchard.com for details.
Sit back and relax. You are tuned into the Overseas Radio Network.
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall, calling in from Mompox, where it's hot, sweaty, but not hot as usual, because we had a big biblical rainstorm last night. And I am happy to present my new guest this week, Courtney Strickland, a native of Georgia who's lived just about everywhere in the United States, well, all four corners, as she says. But she's now up sticks from the U.S. with her husband of Colombian origins, but Miami resident, and her young child, 2 years old, and they've moved to Barranquilla, Colombia. She has a website. She talks all about what it's like to live in Barranquilla, and that website is Barranquilla or Bust. So that's www.barranquillaorbust.com, and she's insightful, has things to say, and I'm happy to have her here on the show. Courtney, welcome. What made you come to Barranquilla?
Well, thanks so much for having me on the show, Richard. It's an interesting story how my husband and I ended up here. We had both thought of moving to Colombia, or in my case, to somewhere in Latin America, for many years before we each met each other. My background is in Latin American studies. It was always just sort of what I loved and where my passions were. And I had always wanted to live somewhere else, not just to travel. My husband, Gio, on the other hand, his parents were from Colombia. He was born and raised in Miami, but he grew up without much family. And he knew all along that he had half brothers and half sisters here that he had never even met. And so for him, he had always wanted to really reconnect with that family, get to know the culture, something he had never had a chance to do. And really, it wasn't until I was in the midst of a job crisis and looking for new work that our desires sort of came together. I was only interested at the time in some jobs that involved too much travel for us since we had a young baby. And Gio was like, well, that won't work, but, you know, I've always thought about living in Colombia. And I said, well, I'd do that. And from that time on, the idea just sort of took flight for us, and we decided to make the leap.
It's fantastic. I mean, it's a pretty bold leap with a two-year-old son. But, I mean, like you said, Gio's extended family are from Colombia, and his parents are from Cartagena and from Barranquilla. So, of course, you were always going to move to the coast. This was going to be your center, not Bogota, not Medellin. Barranquilla was there was never any other city that was touted as your place that you wanted to live.
Well, we considered both Cartagena and Barranquilla. Gio does have family in both places. He actually made a scouting trip in the few months before we actually made the move to see which city might be the best fit for us. And we had lived on Miami Beach, so we had already had in our lives that sort of beachfront, you know, tourist town type of experience. So we didn't necessarily feel the need for that per se. And Barranquilla for us just offered a very family-oriented town with a pretty large middle class, large in terms of geographic area, safe place to live, and it just seemed to make
it just made it just made sense. Yeah.
Of course, the cost in Barranquilla, Yeah, and it's also a cheaper place to live than Cartagena, since Cartagena is definitely such a tourist destination, and rightfully so.
Yeah, it is true. But this is really nice to hear. This is really refreshing to hear someone talking about how secure and family-oriented is Barranquilla. It's not even, you know, as a foreigner living here, I know Barranquilla pretty well. I go to Barranquilla regularly, as you, two or three times a year, business, or you're buying things from my hotel here that I have to ship in. But it's a curious situation if you talk to someone from elsewhere in Colombia. Oh, Barranquilla, yeah, it's just a big industrial city, so much construction, chaos. It's the costa, the coast. It's you know, the people are lazy, or and there's so much crime, because of course we all watch the local news here, and it's just rife with let's say tabloid style stories. But it's so refreshing to hear you say that it's safe and family oriented. And of course for you it is family oriented, because you've got the extended family. But as a whole, do you believe that Barranquilla is very family oriented?
I do believe it's very family oriented as a whole. One of the things that was a little bit of a shock for us is that daycare centers, for example, are only open for a half day here. That's not to say that you can't get more child care in the afternoons through other means, but I'm told by the locals that one of the reasons for that is because there is a tradition of children coming home to play. It's very, very common here to be in an apartment building and see all the children who live in that building gathered down below, playing on the little playground and screaming and laughing. The area in the north part of town is very much working folks, but very sort of stable, and I feel extraordinarily safe here. I run also for exercise, and definitely I feel that I can take off running in the mornings and run for miles without having to worry that, you know, I'm putting myself in danger, or, you know, that I might be causing some problem for my family through threatening our security.
This is fantastic. Fantastic to hear that. And you know, Barranquilla in itself, I think, you know, because of Colombia's geography, because Bogota is so far away, because Cartagena is the eternal city of Colombian tourism, Barranquilla has always looked outward, as it's a big port and it's a big immigration. I mean, there's been that big wave of immigration from elsewhere. You have Italians, you have obviously people of Lebanese descent, you know, the most famous Barranquilla, Shakira, of course. And you know, I mean, there were all the Scots who came into, and the Brits who came in to work on the railways. And, you know, it's an international city. I mean, it's coming into its own as a city. There's so much growth going on. Hotels are springing up everywhere.
The growth is incredible. You mentioned earlier that there is construction all around in Barranquilla, and that's true. I mean, there is construction all around, but I take that as a hugely positive thing. I mean, you can just literally see the city growing before your eyes, and it's a very exciting place to be because of that. I was on a Twitter chat just recently where someone posed the question, you know, what do you see outside your window right now? This was a chat with people in countries all over the world, and I literally took my phone, took a picture, and of course it was the building next door and the construction workers on the side, I find it very inspiring to be in a place that is at the center of such change.
Well, I mean, it just shows confidence as well. I mean, if people are willing to put this money on the line and make these, these massive constructions and invest money, it shows confidence in the city. It shows that despite everything, the city is growing, it's going in the right direction. I mean, there was a period, let's say in the 70s and 80s, where Barranquilla was, I guess, I mean, almost everyone tells me it was no go, but now, I mean, huge shopping centers, and constructions and hotels, and people are coming not just for Carnival, but for other reasons. It's business. So, I mean, for you to come into a city that's international, it must have been, you know, it can't have been too much of a culture shock.
No, it really wasn't too much of a culture shock. I think in many ways it was sort of exactly what we were expecting. And I think for both my husband's career and my own. You know, we have really been able to grow our work. It's been a very good move for us in that sense. And, you know, this city has all the modern conveniences that one might expect. I mean, that's not to say that there was not a learning curve for us on several fronts, because, of course, there was. But in no way, shape, or form is this a place that you come and feel like somehow you're in a very underdeveloped place or something like that. It's just not like that at all. It's a big modern city.
This is a big modern city, and it's going in the right direction, Barranquilla. We're talking with Courtney Strickland, native of Georgia and a resident of Miami, who's now living in Barranquilla, Colombia, who took the plunge and came over with her husband and young child of 2 years of age, and they're now living in Barranquilla, Colombia. They've done it. They've got out, and they've come in. This is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall, and we'll be right back.
OverseasRadio.com, broadcasting from Panama to Paris and beyond.
Va subiendo la corriente, con chinchorro y atarraya, la canoa.
And we're back. This is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall, your host, and we're with Courtney Strickland, a blogger, a mother, a Georgia resident, a Georgia native, a Miami resident, now living in Barranquilla, made the decision to up sticks and move to Colombia. Bold decision. With her husband and her young child, Marcello, of 2 years of age. And now they're living in Barranquilla, big, modern, bustling city on the coast. Hot, sweaty, but where business gets done. If you have to do business in Colombia on the Caribbean coast, it's Barranquilla. But what we're interested in at this point is, you know, what, Courtney, did your parents say when you said, my husband and I, we're moving to Colombia with your grandchild, with our child of 2 years of age? What did they say?
Well, it was a mixed reaction with my parents. I'm very fortunate in that my parents are troopers. I have done a fair amount of adventure travel in my life. So I think that got them accustomed to the idea of me making some bold moves. My father is very much a follow your passions type person. And so when I explained sort of the pros of her making this move, he was very receptive to that. My mom, of course, with both my parents, the main concern was the grandchild, actually. With my mom, definitely a level of concern that he would be even further away from her and that she might see her grandson less than before. But we were able to assure her that actually, flights into the coast are available at fairly reasonable prices, not so much different than if we move to a different part of the United States, for example, and that she would see her grandson for the same amount of time, if not more, albeit perhaps in more concentrated chunks. We usually go back at the Christmas and New Year's holidays to the U.S. for quite an extended period of time. So that's a big comfort to her. So it took a little getting used to, I won't lie, but both my parents came around and really were fully supportive.
Now, have they come down and visited?
They have. My father came first with his wife, and then my mom came just about a month and a half ago for the first time. And it was a lot of fun because neither one of them had ever been to Colombia before. I think it was the first time in South America, I know it was, for both of them. And with my father, we were able to go over to Santa Marta, which is a beautiful town on the coast here. And with my mom, we took a trip to Cartagena. So for us, it was a lot of fun, too, because it gave us a good excuse to also get out and do some of the sightseeing that, you know, everybody is sometimes a little slow to see the sites in the place where they actually live. And for us, it was a lot of fun to do that.
And you know, okay, so your parents came down. You took your father up to Santa Marta, one of the oldest cities, if not the oldest city in Colombia. And then you took your mother to Cartagena. And what were their impressions of these places? And, of course, of Barranquilla, the city where you live, where their grandchild will grow up, is growing up.
Well, my father was definitely impressed with all the construction and growth in Barranquilla. That really made an impression on him. Our trip to Santa Marta was absolutely wonderful. It was interesting because we went to a town called Minca, which is up in the Sierra Nevada mountains just outside of Santa Marta. And there is a hundreds-year-old organic coffee plantation up there where they use sustainable renewable energy to process the coffee. And it was just a fascinating trip. We did have one of those, oh my goodness, experiences. We took a minivan, like a little bus service to Santa Marta, which we had done before, not with my father, obviously. But for whatever reason, we did have quite the scary driver. And this is not usually the case. Let me stress that in Colombia. It's not the same as the U.S. in terms of driving, but this was a particularly eventful trip. The Colombians who were also on the minivan were upset, but we made it there. We have the story to tell, and my father and my son swam in a waterfall in Minca, went to the beach in Rodadero. We had amazing food. We went to Parque Tayrona, the national park out there. It was spectacular.
Oh, but you really showed him that section of the coast, and you really, you know, going up to Minca is not something that everybody does. It's a wonderful little town up there, cooler because it's up in the foothills of the Sierra Nevada with the views over Santa Marta and that lush forest and, of course, the waterfalls, like you say. I mean, what a wonderful place to go and visit. I mean, this is, you showed your parents, your father in Santa Marta and your mother in Cartagena a very good time. I mean, I'm sure now these guys are perfect ambassadors for Colombia back in the United States.
That's right. They really are. And they're very eager to come back. They can't wait at this point. So that's definitely a plus for us too, because we want them to come down and visit as much as possible.
Perfect. It's perfect. It's the kind of thing, the kind of promotion that we need, the, you know, the family word of mouth promotion to improve the situation in Colombia and the perception of Colombia. Now, Courtney, you write a blog, you write a weekly update on BarranquillaOBus.com, and it's informed, it's investigative. You notice that you read all the articles. You know, there are links to the Wall Street Journal, the Financial Times, and so on. I see you don't miss anything that comes up on Colombia. But one of the most interesting blogs, and it's a series I believe that you're doing, is all about parenting in Colombia. And we've talked about, you mentioned in the earlier segment about daycare. We've talked about security and so on. And in one of your blogs as well, you mentioned that you feel safer in Barranquilla than you did in your district in Miami. But are there any other for someone coming down from the United States with their kids, thinking Colombians or even Americans, you know, or anywhere else, coming down to live or to return to Barranquilla, do you have any advice for parents of young children?
Well, let me think. One of the pieces of advice that I was given, which I do think is true, was to try to bring toys with you. I mean, that's a very practical piece of advice and may sound trite, but if you have a very young child, obviously it's an important thing. Shopping here sometimes can be expensive if you're buying imports, not necessarily so expensive if you're buying goods made in Colombia. But getting quality toys at reasonable prices can sometimes be a little bit of a challenge. Another thing that has been a challenge with pluses and minuses for me, it's not like it's all bad, is the food. The food here is fantastic. I feel that my son eats far, far more whole foods and less processed foods than he would have eaten in the U.S. That being said, there aren't necessarily the convenience foods that are available in the U.S. There also aren't necessarily the organic products or products that are labeled as such that are widely available here. So it requires a little bit of a change in mentality, but it's not at all to say that your child is not going to eat just as well here as he or she did if they were in the U.S., but it is to say that it'll be a little bit different, and I think actually on the whole a little bit better.
That's interesting. And of course, maybe some of the products here aren't labeled organic and may well
exactly.
be organic. We don't know.
Exactly.
So it's interesting. I mean, isn't it? It's a fascinating point. Something I am not a parent, something I would never have thought about, of how expensive quality toys for your child might be. But then, of course, this gives you a perfect excuse and a perfect excuse for your parents to come down laden with toys. As frequently as possible to spoil Marcello, you know?
Absolutely. That's definitely true. And also a good excuse to make sure that we're not spoiling him ourselves too much here. So
this is true. You know, one eye on your bank account. But I mean, you're two sort of location independent professionals, Gio and yourself. You have a strong background in NGOs and advocacy groups, and Gio is a software developer. But so I assume you both sort of work from home, and Marcello goes off to the daycare center, but on your day-to-day, I mean, this is something that we all notice. I've been in Latin America for 16 years. It's not something that leaves me, is how much we are in a gun culture here in Latin America. And you do mention it. You do mention it in your blogs. I mean, it's something that we notice, but as you said, we went to I think it's the Buena Vista Mall there in Barranquilla, mm-hmm. which is a huge, swanky, glass, iron, very impressive mall with I don't know how many cinemas and designer shops and what have you. There are guns. You know, people have guns. But as you said, you prefer to see the guns than those people walking around with hidden guns. I mean, surely
right.
it's true, no? It's a gun culture.
Well, they're definitely more on display here than you would see in the United States, for sure. The blog post that you refer to, I actually was coming out of the movie theater restroom, and I nearly collided with a guy with a very large gun in hand, and he was merely accompanying the person who was either picking up cash or making a cash delivery, sort of along the lines of Brinks, in the United States. So, he had full authorization to be there, no doubt, but it's still somewhat of a shock, when you see guns, large guns in the street. I've seen the same thing at burger places here, where the guy keeping an eye on the cars in the parking lot is carrying a very large gun. And for me, it really gave me pause to think, you know, what does this mean in a society? And it's such a complex question, because on the one hand, I think, you know, there's no question the violence and the damage that guns have caused and can cause in a society. I mean, my heart just wrenches in even beginning to think of it. On the other hand, they are definitely a part of providing security here. And as an outsider, it's sometimes very hard to know, is this a symptom, if you will, of things getting better? Or is this something that still needs to be corrected? Or is it some of both? Is it merely just a stepping stone in the trajectory of progress that's going on? And different people have different reactions to that. I've talked to an expat friend here who really wishes that they were not on display. And I really agree with that in most respects. On the other hand, would there be the same level of security if they weren't on display? And I don't know the answer to that question. It's not one that I have enough research and enough knowledge to be able to answer, but certainly one that I think has to be considered. So I think there are lots of complicated considerations that are involved anytime we look at questions like this, but definitely on a day-to-day basis, it's a different experience with guns here than was my experience in the United States.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, this still is Colombia, and you raised some really important points about that, the reality of the situation. Does it make it safer or does it make it less safe? But guns,
right.
I mean, they're here, unfortunately. And you know, take it as you will. People taking money out of the bank or depositing money in the bank will probably be accompanied, and people who have, suffered or are of the wealthy classes, probably better to say, will have bodyguards who will be armed. We're going to come back to this point because I think this is very important for those people thinking of coming to Colombia and those people who don't have an experience in Latin America or the practices here or this sort of visibility of weaponry. So we're not going to leave this point. Don't leave us. I'm Richard McCall talking to Courtney Strickland. This is Colombia Calling on the Overseas Radio Network. We'll be right back.
OverseasRadio.com, broadcasting from Panama to Paris and beyond.
Looking for a one-stop resource to help you plan your overseas retirement? Retirement Abroad makes it easy to research destinations and professional services from Panama to Penang. Or use the Retirement Abroad directory to showcase the kind of property or living arrangement international retirees are looking for. Planning an event? If it's right for Retirement Abroad, we'll add it to our calendar. Or maybe you like to write, are living overseas, and have advice or a story to share. Send it to us at retirementabroad.com.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, the station to help you reach your dream destination.
Va subiendo la corriente con chinchorro y atarraya.
Good afternoon, and we're back. This is Colombia Calling. I am your host, Richard McCall. We're talking about all things Colombian, everything in Colombia. We're talking to expat Courtney Strickland, living in Barranquilla. We've been touching on an incredibly important theme, and as those of you listening, you know, we don't like to shy away from these things. Here in Latin America, everyone has guns, it seems. The guns are everywhere, and I, for one, you know, I feel a bit nervous around guns. I've been here for 16 years in Latin America. I've been in Colombia now for 7 years, and I'll never get used to seeing guns. But like Courtney suggests, it's better to see the guns than not to see the guns. I don't know. Courtney, what do you think?
Well, if the choice is between seeing them or not seeing them, I think I'd have to say that I'd rather see them so that I can be aware that they're there. Sort of the things that are known are sometimes a little less scary than the things that aren't, type of thing, I guess. That being said, you know, maybe it's utopian on my part, but I still envision a society in which these types of weapons are no longer necessary. And while that may or may not be a place that we ever reach, I still think that it's something that people everywhere need to work toward, not just here in Colombia, but in everywhere in the world. And it's something worth trying to work toward.
I mean, I feel strongly that, you know, obviously I would prefer to see no weapons anywhere. And I feel strongly that we should be moving towards having no weapons like this. But we know, and it's well reported on, that we're in Colombia. It's a country in conflict, and we have an armed society, and this is the reality of the situation. So many people have been touched by the violence. So many people have been affected that they feel that the only way is, you know, to have a weapon, at least their first line of protection, their first line of security. Security guards are everywhere. Is this something that we as foreigners have to come to terms with if we live here in Colombia or in Latin America? It's elsewhere too. I mean, it's not just, isolated to these parts of the world. It's everywhere. But, yes, weapons are everywhere. But anyway, this is all about, this show is about living abroad and, you know, dealing with the culture shocks and rolling with it, you know. But, as I was talking about, we jump around a bit and, Courtney is quite the public figure. Courtney has been featured with her family, her husband and her child on the show. It's an addictive reality show. Aren't all reality shows addictive? And I wouldn't really always admit to having watched reality shows, but House Hunters International is one of those that I will permit myself to watch because, well, you know, it's kind of like seeing your own life if you're an expat a little bit. And Courtney has been on it. Courtney was featured. Courtney, Gio, and Marcello were featured moving to Barranquilla. How was the experience in House Hunters International, Courtney?
Well, we had so much fun with the filming, Richard. We learned a lot about ourselves. We learned a lot about reality TV shows, about the film industry and the TV industry in general. It was a blast. The way this all came about for us is that I, like many other people, am on some forums that are on websites where expats share information and news with each other and ask questions. One of those is the Expat Exchange, and an assistant producer for the company that produces House Hunters International posted an email on one of these forums saying that she was looking for people who had recently relocated to another country from the U.S. or were about to do so, and it was for a major U.S. cable TV show, and if interested, to please message her. I showed this email to my husband, and I said, you know what show this is, right? And we both knew that it was House Hunters International. And the reason why we knew is because when we were in the process of trying to decide whether to make this leap, we actually watched the show quite a bit. It's a fun show, and for us, I think it was not so much about learning hard facts or anything like that that would help us in the move, but it was confidence boosting. It helped us remind ourselves that there are people who move to another country all the time and that it can be done and that we could do it. So it was really helpful to us in that respect. So in any case, I responded to this email. We got involved in the casting process, which is actually quite extensive, lots of phone interviews and questionnaires and such. And that's how this all came about for us, and we found ourselves filming, you know, several months ago, and just had a great experience.
And did this actual experience, did it actually help you pick the apartment in which you live or the house in which you're living in now? I mean, did they get down to the crux and say, no, between these three, there's one of these has to be your new home?
Well, for those who are familiar with the format of the show or who may not be, the show shows three apartments, and the people in the show pick one of those three apartments at the end in which to live. I will share with you what some people know. The show is basically, in many cases, I can't say all, a very well-done reenactment of what actually happened. So in our case, we had already picked our apartment, but the show producers went to extreme lengths to try to recreate what our experience was, and I think they did a great job of doing it. So, you know, I think the show itself is very representative of what we actually went through, but we were not under that pressure of, okay, you're only going to be able to look at three apartments and you're going to have to pick one at the end of the day. So that was a good thing.
Before Courtney lets us in on all the secrets of reality TV.
Indeed.
you know, if you were telling, you were talking to friends who are thinking of coming to live in Barranquilla, would you point them in the direction of any particular barrio, any particular district as being better than another for them?
Well, there's an area that is simply referred to as El Norte or the North, that is very large. That is the more upscale area of town. It's a very large section of the city, not just a neighborhood. And within that section, there are many great places to live. That's one of the good things about Barranquilla, is there are just a wide variety of very safe neighborhoods to choose from. And we lucked up because our apartment is sort of right in the center of this whole area. It was pure luck because, honestly, we had no idea when we were looking at apartments where the best location was, or even exactly where the apartments were that we were looking at. And we feel very fortunate to have landed where we were. But that being said, there's no shortage of places to choose from.
No, no. That was fantastic. And what I think is great about the whole House Hunters International experience is it gives you a moment to reflect on what you're doing. You know, it actually gives you almost like a historical archive for the future. You know, you say, you know, you've got something you want to give back to your child who's too young to remember, you know, the big step that you took.
It really does. It's funny that you mentioned that, because just yesterday I was looking at some old videos. I am a digital hoarder. I have all these photos and videos, and I'm constantly trying to organize them. And I came across the casting video for the show, and I opened it up and looked at it. It's a video that we made ourselves that we had to in order to be cast. And I decided that on the one-year anniversary of our arrival here, which is in just a few weeks, I'm going to post this on my blog, not because it's a great video, because believe me, I am no filmmaker, but because it really did speak to all the important reasons why we came here, reconnecting with family, allowing our son to get to know the culture, for me, fulfilling a lifelong dream. And it was really heartwarming for me to see that and be reminded of why we did this, and that it worked, and that we're glad we made the leap. And for our son, of course, he'll get a DVD of the very well-made actual TV show and be able to have something concrete to perhaps, quote-unquote, remember times that his young mind may not be able to archive for him right now. And that was important for us too.
I mean, is this a really, we've been talking about this on the show for a few weeks now, and of Colombians coming back. I talked last week about with the team from Sea Colombia Travel about how they helped Nicole, who was abducted from her family in Bogota and then given up into adoption in the United States at age 4. And the week before that, I talked with Luis Eduardo Villamizar, who's a resident now of Atlanta, Georgia, and he's making a documentary, A Journey to Colombia, coming back to Colombia to trace his roots. It's becoming more frequent. Colombians living abroad, the diaspora, those perhaps who have never, you know, really lived in Colombia, or have been born and grown up overseas, away from Colombia, the image is changing. Colombia is going in the right direction, and people are coming back. And Gio and yourself, you are, you know, testament to that. It's, and people are getting in touch with you through your blog about this.
That's right. They are. I have connected through my blog with several people who either are planning to move soon or who have recently made the move. One family, I was in touch with them for several months before they actually moved, and they arrived here just a few weeks ago. And talking with the mom, it put me right back in that place of all those challenges you go through, all the sort of discombobulation, for lack of a better word, that you have after you make that move. And it was great to be able to say, you know what, it's going to be worth it. All that you're going through right now is going to be worth it, because I really feel that in our case, at least, it absolutely was. And you're right that I think more and more people are considering making that move. There's a sense now that the country is open. It's open for people who want to just come visit. It's a great place to visit. But it's also open and safe for those who want to come and live as well. And, you know, it's a really exciting thing to be a part of. And Colombia on the whole, it's facing so many challenges, but you know what? It's an extraordinarily optimistic and encouraging place to be, and we're just happy to be a part of it.
This is really reassuring, conversation and chat with Courtney Strickland of the blog www.barranquillaorbust.com. Look it up if you're thinking of moving to Colombia or just want to read something informed and interesting. This is the blog to look at if you're thinking of Barranquilla and Colombia in general. I mean, moving to Colombia is not without its challenges. Moving anywhere is not without its challenges. And one small item that I picked up on, the most personal challenge that Courtney has faced is the lack of, cable TV or the lack of different foods. It's the lack of Pinot Grigio. Courtney, how are you dealing with this?
Some of the unexplained mysteries of life in Colombia. I'm still waiting, and I'm sure someone has the answer to tell me why there really is not much Pinot Grigio in this country, or at least on the coast, other than the occasional stray bottle that one can find at the supermarket. It's really there's one brand of Pinot Grigio that I have found, and even that is not at every store. It's funny. We have so many things that are commonplace, like every type of cereal, you can buy your Special K or what have you. But then every once in a while, there will be something that it seems like it should be there, and yet it's not. Some of these mysteries may never be solved for me. And on the other hand, there are products that over time I have figured out where to buy them. I really like quinoa. It took me quite some time to figure out where the quinoa was, and yet, it was there right under my nose all along. So maybe the same will be true for Pinot Grigio. One can only hope.
Well, that is fun. Yes, Pinot Grigio, that's the personal touch to end this show. I've been Richard McCall talking with Courtney Strickland of BarranquillaOrBust.com. And any of you out there thinking of opening up a business in Barranquilla, Pinot Grigio might be, the way forward. You're going to have a certain supply in Courtney there. Courtney, thank you very much for your time. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. And please tune in next week.
Your expatriation destination. This is OverseasRadio.com.